Eclectic.
Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry. You name it. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
And we are in a completely new location. This is the new Studio 2.0.
Yes. Don't you like our digs, folks?
Yes.
So, oh, wait. This is podcast. They can't see it.
It's an audio.
How does it sound?
Sounds great.
Awesome. No, this is great. This is you got a great new space here.
I don't hear the echo.
Yeah.
So when I first interviewed here, right outside of our teen center was an office. And it was twice the size of the office that I actually wound up in. But when I was interviewing, it was empty, and they said, "This is going to be your office." And I thought, yeah, that's nice. That's
sweet. Location, size,
more than double the size of the little closet of an office that I had at my last church, which was literally a closet. I've told you that story.
Yes.
And so they, so that was like when I interviewed, that was in November of 2012. I started in January of 2013. And somebody else is in here. Our women's ministry pastor, she had an assistant on staff. So since there were two of them, they put them in the bigger office and put me in the smaller office, which makes sense. But I was still a little bummed. I was like, no.
Well, and you know what? So if you're listening to this and you're thinking, you know, you've
Rob
got,
is shallow?
No.
Okay.
You know, if you've ever gone to a church, gone on staff at a church, and realized that some of the things you were told before you started didn't come to fruition.
Oh, that's a whole podcast in and of itself.
You're not alone. Rob's got his. I've got my stories. We've all got those. If you're in ministry, you've got those stories. So don't feel alone and isolated in that.
Yeah, and I don't want to come across sounding like this is petty, and it's not about the size of the office, because I did find ministry out of the smaller office.
But you get excited. There is a disappointment because you get excited about it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's like you start dreaming about that space and you get there and it's like a fraction of the size of what you actually did.
I now have the room to do certain things that I didn't have the room to do before. I've got a leader fridge in here and I've got a bookshelf that's next to the leader fridge that has leader type resources.
Yeah.
I'm still organizing it. Because I just moved in, but...
Well, in the little space you were in before, I mean, this is a massive difference, because you didn't have the space to organize what you needed to... Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm dreading, because we're looking at an eventual remodel at our church, and I'm going to be moving to... I have a decent-sized office.
You do.
Not this big, but I have a decent-sized office, and I'm going to be moving to a space that is a fraction of its size when the remodel is done, and I'm so excited about that.
Well, I'm sorry. We'll be praying for you.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm going to forget about it as soon as we're done with this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. I totally get it.
So, you know, that's the church way to stop a conversation that's awkward.
Yeah. Oh,
pray for that. Right now? Not right now. I mean, later. At home when I'm watching the game.
Yeah.
During the commercials.
Yeah. I feel the same way about you, Rob. Thank you very much.
But yeah, so we've got a new studio, and I'm really excited about it.
And there's still plans for some more changes in the future.
Absolutely.
Some additions as you continue to move in. And those are going to be exciting, but we'll talk about those another time. But But as of now, this is great. This is fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I brought Bo Jackson over with me.
Hey, Bo. Yo, Bo. Bo knows Bo.
Bo does know Bo. That's his book.
Yeah, I saw that on the shelf that I can see now, because it's not crammed in a box or shoved under a pile.
Exactly.
Like it was in your old space.
So I actually, Bo Jackson was my childhood sports hero.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy was a dual sport athlete, excelled at both of them. He's just a beast. And then he got injured, and it ended it all.
I had his rookie card.
Oh.
Baseball.
I do.
I gave it away.
I have a Wonder Bread Kansas City Royals Bo Jackson card that it's in a little plastic protector and stuff. I'm just going to hold on to that forever.
It was worthless, and I liked Bo Jackson and everything, but not nearly as much as a friend of mine who was he wasn't necessarily a massive Bo Jackson fan, but he was he's a huge, lifelong Kansas City fan, Royals fan.
Yeah.
And so I gave it to him because it meant a whole lot more to him than me.
Yeah. So if you went to the website or you went to Facebook or you went to, you know, you're following us on Twitter, you may have noticed that last week there was not an episode posted.
I noticed that and I was concerned, Rob.
We did episode 17.
Yes, we did.
Which was technology, I believe.
Yeah.
In ministry.
I think.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
I'd have to access my technology to go back and double check that, but I believe that's the case.
I'm using my technology to actually record the audio, so I can't do that. But so that was episode 17. episode 18 is gone.
Yeah. We were just coming off some insane schedules, both of us.
Yes.
Some similar, some different, but we were both
craziness.
Yes. Yeah, it was absolutely nuts. And so we decided to take a rest.
Take a breather.
Yeah. One might call it
a Sabbath.
That might be what one might call it.
I mean, it wasn't a Sunday per se.
Right. But it's
isn't the Sabbath Sunday? I mean, isn't that when you're supposed to rest on Sunday?
Yeah. Well,
can you take a Sabbath on another day and still call it a Sabbath?
Yeah.
Dare I ask these deep theological questions on a youth ministry podcast?
You're risking it a little bit, but
I am.
Yeah. No, yeah, the idea of the Sabbath is to understand the cycles of action and rest.
Yeah.
And that rest is critical. I mean, look at our how we're built. Yeah. We are built to get up in the morning, go and do, but then we have to have sleep. And you know, we can push it. We can push ourselves. We can stay up for a night, but the more sleep deprived you become, the less functional you are, and you can eventually die from not having the sleep that you need.
Sleep deprivation studies are so interesting.
Yeah, they absolutely are. I geek out on some sleep studies.
Yeah.
But
and so a lot of people don't know this.
We're built for rest.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know this about me, but I've been an insomniac for as long as I can pretty much remember. And it's just weird if I go to bed early, unless I'm sick. Now, when I'm sick, it goes out the window. But all things being normal, I wind up getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep a night.
Yeah, that's weird. Crazy to me. I have a hard time shutting my brain down at night so that I can get to sleep.
It's not
but
that.
But I don't live off of three. Yeah. I can't function that way.
So there are times when I'm tired and I'll go to bed at 10 o'clock. And then I wake up between 1 and 2 and I'm wide awake. And I'm like, what do I do between now and 6 a.m. when I normally wake up? Yeah. And so I wind up. I don't watch TV during the normal television programming hours, prime time, et cetera. I'm usually doing ministry stuff or family stuff during that time. So I wind up Netflix, TV, whatever. And it's not that I can't get my brain to relax. I mean, I've tried. I've gone into bed and I've laid there and just be still and quiet and or read a book or whatever. And my body just won't sleep.
It's too bad you can't be like a cartoon and get whacked on the head with a mallet to knock yourself out and have no neurological...
I haven't tried it.
Dysfunction after that.
I haven't tried it, actually.
I'm willing to give it a shot for you.
Okay. You got a mallet?
I
okay,
darn
we'll
it.
Try
I
it another
bring
time.
It.
Well, and it's a little early. It's midday. We don't I mean, I don't want to go to sleep right now.
But we it's worth experimenting sometime.
Yeah.
I'll bring a mallet.
In the name of science.
In the name of neurological science.
We'll do it.
Also known as neuroscience.
Yeah.
I'll bring a mallet.
But
next
you know
time.
Last month in the CPYU, the Center for Parent Youth Understanding,
uh-huh.
parent pages, there was a article snippet on non-concussive head trauma and the studies being done on that. Interesting stuff.
Wow.
Interesting stuff. So they're saying that even these mild head injuries that aren't considered concussion and don't require students to go into a concussion protocol, just they build up over time and can have a similar effect. So good stuff. So we're a little bit off topic there.
Yeah,
but,
just a tad.
But you know what happens in youth ministry in particular? I've seen it in youth ministry. For example, for us, our schedule was I had two teen events kind of bookending our district assembly, which our church hosted. And so, you know, that's a pretty big deal. We have 87 churches on our district all converging onto our church. And it was Sunday night. We had a worship event. And then Monday and Tuesday were the business meetings. Monday night was an ordination service. And then we went all day on Tuesday again. And there are breakout sessions and things like that. But it makes for some very long days.
And I had a youth thing, and then I had an unexpected extended trip out of town, sleeping on an air mattress in our house that we still own that is 2.5 hours away, doing some work on it to get ready to go on the market, and then coming home for literally 24 hours to do church and our high school Bible study, and then head out of town for that district assembly that was here. And it's just been insane. And so it was...
And this is all on the tail end of Good Friday Easter.
Yes.
And so
it was
just crazy. And here we are. We were at district assembly, and we're like... dude, like, should we try to squeeze in recording an episode during district assembly? And we both came to the conclusion that, you know what, man, I need a break.
Yeah.
And so,
we joked about taking some time and you know, doing the welcome to Eclectic and, you know, that whole thing, and then just letting it be silent for like 15 to 20 minutes and then closing with the, you know, if you reach us up, whatever, you know, yeah. That's the Eclectic.
Is that what I sound like in your mind?
Yeah. Well, what you sound like to me is the...
Okay, I apologize for Scott. If he's offending anybody right now, go ahead and email him directly. Do not email our podcast.
Yeah.
The views of the podcast Eclectic are not necessarily those of Scott.
I'm just saying what you sound like. I don't know why. Anyway.
Okay. But, So Sabbath, we want to talk seriously for a second.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. I mean, I know we can be silly and whatnot, but...
But it is a serious topic because especially, okay, in today's culture, the business world says work, and you advance by working your tail off. You advance mm-hmm. not by just simply going in and putting in your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
You advance by putting in extra, and the more extra you're able to put in, the more you're able to advance in most of the business world,
yeah.
In most of what the world puts out there as important. And the problem is that floods over into church culture as well. And so whatever area of ministry you're involved in, there's this expectation to just get more and more and more and more and more done. And especially in youth ministry, it's very easy for churches to just pile more and more on the youth pastors for them to just be expected to deal with and cover, when the reality is it's critical for us to understand the spiritual element of the spiritual and physical element of the importance of Sabbath, that rest. And even when we feel like, okay, I could go take this extra day, and okay, so like for me today is my day off.
Yep, me too.
And yet I come in to do this because I believe in what we talk about. I believe in the importance of spreading and sharing experience and knowledge that might be helpful to somebody.
Yeah.
Some things more helpful than other things. But
And our three listeners deserve that.
Exactly. All three of them.
Yes.
And maybe that fourth one that we might get someday. But
two of those three are us, though.
Am I supposed to listen to the...
Okay, so our two listeners.
And the third that we might get... But the reality is there's this culture tells us to work harder, work more.
Yeah.
When scripture tells us, take your rest.
Yeah. Well, and then God demonstrated it. Jesus demonstrated it.
Yeah.
You know, Dr. Brené Brown, I think that's how we pronounce her name. I got a chance to hear her speak at a youth specialties conference some years ago. And she said that busyness is the new status symbol. When people meet in passing, oh, how are things going for you? Oh, dude, I am so swamped. And we're like, dude, LA keeps me out of trouble. And we joke about it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, keeping busy?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. You know, and when's the last time we congratulated someone when they said, you know what, man, I just took 2 weeks off. I cashed in all my sick leave, and I just kind of sat around and did nothing for 2 weeks and just recharged my soul. We go, oh, okay. Man, I mean, doesn't it feel weird not doing anything? You know, and we start to question taking a break, which people sorely need.
Or we take time off and we fill it with all these other things that we need to get done or to go. And then we need vacation from our time off.
Two types of vacation planners.
Yeah.
Those that say, I'm going to beach bum it. Just go sit on a beach and, you know, sip on a cold drink or something and relax. Curl up with a good book. And then there are people that, okay, first we're going to go see this monument and then we're going to head over here. And then and you're just like, seriously, why is our vacation time busier than our work week and, you know, family stuff? And so, it's a tough thing. Why do you think, Scott, why do you think that it's so easy for church leaders, senior pastors in particular, to dump stuff on their youth person? And why is it so easy for them to assume that youth person can handle it?
Oh, man. That's a really good question. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure how to answer that because I think there could be a myriad of reasons. I think to a certain extent in some settings.
Yeah.
Not in the setting where I'm at.
Yeah.
But maybe in some settings where I have been. But I think some settings are so dysfunctional that they just simply see youth ministry as just an extra place. Youth groups are looked at as a workforce to run things, to serve at things.
Yeah.
And then the youth pastor is just a degraded job that to deal with things that nobody else in the church wants to deal yeah. with. Now, like I said, not where I'm at, not yeah. in a lot of places.
Yeah, that's not where places. I'm at either.
In general, my answer to that question would be, I'm not sure.
I can tell you that this is what I've experienced and this is what I've observed in other people. Even in healthy settings like I am here, my senior pastor is constantly asking me, Rob, I've seen you put in a lot of hours, man. Are you spending enough time with your family? And they care about me and they want me to take time off. As a matter of fact, we have a study day, a paid study day every week where we're supposed to get into the Word and whatnot, not spend time in the office, minus Thursdays. So it's an 8-hour day. It's a work day. Sometimes I spend it at home. Sometimes I spend it at the coffee shop. But that's when I can and catch up on my personal Bible study, my devotionals. I can lesson plan for, you know.
That sounds so fantastic.
It's awesome because he knows that if we just go 5 days of go, we wind up prioritizing other stuff and then that doesn't get done. Yeah. And it's important.
I'm trying to wedge myself into the habit of taking 3 to 4 hours a week to do what Mark DeVries talks about in his book, Sustainable Youth Ministry.
Great which, book, by the way.
Fantastic. Yeah. I'm rereading it and yeah. I've forgotten pieces of it over the years, but to take what he refers to as balcony time.
Yes.
And it's time and it's work. It's still work related, but it's specifically focused on looking at the bigger picture. It's not as stressful, but making sure that my heart and my mind are still looking at the vision. It's yeah. not a Sabbath. It's not a day off, but it is intentional time away from the rat race of yes. ministry to look at the bigger picture.
That's funny. I forgot it was in that book. And yeah. just as a sidebar, I was looking for that. And I thought it was in Youth Ministry Management Tools. And so I'm looking through that. And I'm like, where is that?
Yeah.
Thanks for reminding me.
You're welcome.
But this is what I've noticed.
But it's yeah. still not downtime.
No,
it's still not time off. And that's the problem is we convince ourselves that these things are the equivalent of, or other people tell us that they should be the equivalent of.
Yeah.
And the reality is we still need downtime.
We do. And so to answer my question about why is it easy for leaders to continue to dump stuff on their youth person, and this is what happens with me. As a youth pastor, there's a lot of stigma with that position, and oftentimes, and it's not coming from other leadership. Sometimes it's from our own insecurities. We feel sometimes a little less than, and we feel like the senior pastor is always kind of judging us and, you know, wondering why is the youth guy doing this or that or youth gal. But I think what happens is we don't speak up. We don't speak up and we don't say, hey man, this is a really busy week for me. I appreciate you wanting me to do that graphic design in addition to all the other stuff I'm doing. I just don't have the time to do yeah. it. We're yeah. afraid sometimes to do that. And I see that what happens is in our inability to say no and wanting to please everybody and wanting to do a good job. And not to mention that oftentimes what makes a successful youth person is that they have an eclectic. yes, I
Ooh,
said it.
See what you did there?
Skill set. And so they know how to do computer stuff. They know how to do yeah, audio, video stuff.
You get
stuff.
Pulled into this,
and
you
so,
get pulled into that.
So, yeah, so yeah. you're planning a lesson for Sunday morning. You're planning a lesson for Wednesday night. You're planning games for Wednesday night. You're planning, what snacks you're going to be, you know, providing. You're planning all of this
you're
stuff.
You're planning the next event that's coming up.
And you're and doing you're a promotional to, video. Yeah. And you're doing a study for yourself. And you're doing... And so,
and what, you're trying to create something to invest in your leaders and your
exactly, yeah, and you're and if you've got a wife and kids or you know whatever, you're planning family stuff on top of that. There's only 24 hours in a day, and you yeah. cannot change that. I've tried to squeeze more into the day, but there comes a point where you just can't do it.
Yeah,
and I think that's what I've noticed. And for me, when I started speaking up frankly and saying, "Hey, can I just be honest with you? I cannot do it. I need to take some time off." And I was a little afraid that I was going to get some pushback, like, "Hey, man, Rob's not a team player." But really what happened was the opposite. They said, "Oh, dude, we had no idea. Take some time off. Are you taking comp time?" I said, "What do you mean?" "Well, if you come in on a Friday, Saturday for a youth event, and those are your days off, if you can, take some time off Monday or Tuesday or spread it out. Go home a couple yeah. hours early each yeah. day next week to make up for it." Yeah. I was like, "I didn't know I could do that." And since I started taking comp time, my life has gotten so much better.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the stress and the anxiety level has come down.
Well, and sometimes, you know, a lot of times my wife and I don't have the same days off. And so sometimes we'll go a week or two, or when she was working swing and grave shifts at the hospital, we were going sometimes a month, you know, 5-6 weeks without being able to have face to face where we're both awake time. And
yeah, that's rough.
But you know, now she's on days, and so, you know, so it's a lot easier. But sometimes, you know, so Thursday's a work day for me, and sometimes we'll realize that, like, on a Monday or a Thursday, she's got the day off, and it's like, oh, okay, what's my schedule like? What can I shift around? And I'll do everything I can to take part of the day off or the whole day off just to go spend time with my wife.
That's a great
practice. And I don't – when I was younger – I would feel more guilted into not doing things like that.
Yeah.
But at, you know, with where I am now and the years I've been in youth ministry, I don't feel guilty at all. And I've got less of a problem to say, I'm taking this time.
Yeah.
I'm not as intimidated to do that anymore.
The rule is, I mean,
and to say no.
Yeah.
Now, if I would have, I wish I would have learned the lessons of saying no when I was younger. And been more bold about it. But I didn't, but I've learned my lessons. And at this point, I can do that.
Rick Warren did a seminar years and years ago, and it was geared towards pastors. And he talked about, for a completely different purpose, he was talking about accountability for pastors. He said, if you haven't earned the right to go play 9 holes of golf, don't sneak it into your workday and tell your secretary, oh, I've got a meeting to run to. You know, A, that's lying. But B, it creates space for stuff to happen that you can't be held accountable for. And so, but I think the same thing goes for, listen, if you have been working hard and you've earned the right to take a day and say you want to go play 9 holes of golf with a buddy, let the church know, hey, I had to do that. I enjoy sports shooting. And so my buddy and I, we've been working hard. We had just done, you know, the district assembly and all of that stuff. And so Tori and I decided we're going to go shoot guns in the middle of the day. So we took 3 hours out in the middle of the day. And we said, hey, we're going to go. And we went and we shot guns, had a lot of fun, blew off some steam, and then, you know, came back and went back to work.
Yeah,
and so the thing is, if you haven't earned it, don't try to sneak it in, because that's when you're getting in trouble.
Well, some of my most productive work days are when I take an hour and just go for a walk through town. Now, I'm in a small town, a small community, and so it's just there's a kind of a peaceful Mayberry type of feel to it. And there's some incredible views where we're at, and so I can easily just go spend time looking out over the wildlife refuge that's nearby and or whatever.
Yeah. So and how many hours, Scott, do you put in on Sunday?
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Oh well, because we've got multiple services in the morning, and then I have a high school Bible study in the evening, and then there's the setup.
So Sunday is really a work day for you.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah.
Same here. I've got a couple services in the morning. We get here early. We stay late. Sometimes there's a afternoon meeting or something. And then I've got my young adults group, college age young adults, in the evening. And so Sunday is just a work day for me.
Yeah.
And so earlier I asked about taking the Sabbath. Can you take a Sabbath on another day? If Sunday was designed to be the Sabbath, can you take another day? You know, and depending on what denomination you are. I mean, there are some religious groups that believe Saturday is the Sabbath, right?
Well, there's a passage in Luke where Jesus is, where it talks about how it was the Sabbath and Jesus began to teach the people. And so, you know, there's, you know, even Jesus himself taught on the Sabbath. And a lot of times that's an excuse people use to give you more work or to rationalize more work. Jesus taught on the Sabbath. So I, you know, but Jesus also, there's also this story where Jesus had been healing and then early in the morning, healing and stuff all night long. But then in the morning, while it was still dark out, Jesus got up and went out to a solitary, quiet place to pray.
Absolutely.
He still knew the cycles of rest, the cycles of downtime, the cycles of getting away. And we've got to have those times. You know, there's just this. One of the things I love about Sabbath is, you know, Walter Brueggemann, and Brueggemann is one of those names that people like to drop because he's, you know, an incredibly popular Old Testament scholar, Old Testament genius, brainiac guy. But he talks about Sabbath as it's the book is called Sabbath as Resistance, and it's saying no to the culture of now. And it's a fantastic book that talks about how the Sabbath is not just a day of rest that you're supposed to have because you need rest, but that especially in our day and age where things are constantly pushing towards more, do, accomplish. It's an accomplishment based culture.
Yeah.
That Sabbath is counterculture. Sabbath exists as a resistance to the culture that says you have to do more to be successful. You have to accomplish more to be successful. It's take this rest and you will find greater success. And how Sabbath is placed even in the Ten Commandments. They're the commandments that are before it. It's the fourth commandment. They're the three commandments that are before it that are all about the role that God is in our lives, and all the commandments after it are about our relationship with neighbors, and there's this incredible connection. It serves as this bridge in the Ten Commandments between the stuff that is about God and the stuff that is about us giving to our neighbors, which to me then speaks volumes of when Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He positions those two things with each other, and in the midst of all of it, there has to be this this emphasis on Sabbath.
So this is kind of a dumb argument in a way, and I don't know where people land, but there are people who organize their work week calendar as Monday through Friday and then tack Saturday, Sunday on at the end. So it's a Monday through Sunday calendar. And then there are some people to take the viewpoint of, no, Sunday's the first day of the week, and it's a Sunday through Saturday calendar. And it seems silly to argue over that kind of thing, but it does play into your theology of, you know, what is the Sabbath meant to be? Or is the Sabbath the end cap of a long, hard week of work? You're resting and recuperating from all the work you did. And people use the Genesis creation account to argue that. They say, well, God worked and he created and then he took Sabbath, okay? And then he instructed us, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy, right? And so other people say, well, no, the Sabbath is designed to get you in the right mindset. It's kind of like getting up early in the morning, spending time with God to start your day on the right foot. And this is where I've landed. It's not an either or necessarily. It's a both and.
Yeah.
You know, there's this great quote from Dr. Matthew Sleeth. He says, we are not meant to save the Sabbath. The Sabbath is meant to save us. We can't keep going at that breakneck pace and not have negative consequences. Yeah. Our physical health, our emotional health, and our spiritual health are all at stake if we don't rest. And now resting, like the Sabbath is not just about resting. It's about stopping, and it's about recognizing, being aware of God in your life. And you know, it's refueling, not only, you know, putting gas in your tank, but checking the oil, the tire pressure, like the full service deal, to use a car analogy.
Right.
Because if all you're doing is refueling and the oil needs to be changed, well, you're not going to get that much farther down the road.
Right.
And so it's about just kind of taking a look at everything. And so one of the things that I've had to learn to do as I take Sabbath, and it's so easy for us in ministry, especially, to go, well, you know, Sunday's a work day, so I can't take Sabbath on Sunday. And we use that as an excuse to not take Sabbath at all. And the fact that we do the Lord's work is no excuse for not taking a Sabbath. And, and people need to know that.
Well, and if you're in a setting where you don't have as much freedom to be able to take comp time or to make sure to be able to guard, if you're not encouraged and you, I was in a position, youth positions at one place one time where the pastor talked about the priority of family and taking downtime, but then the way he lived his life was completely opposite of that, and his emphasis to the rest of us was the opposite as well.
Wow.
And so if you find yourself in a place where you are not feeling the freedom to be able to take the comp time that you need to maintain those cycles of rest and cycles of downtime, the be still and know that I am God periods of your week and your cycles, then you need to speak up. You need to have the conversations with someone. If you are a pastor, the lead pastor or administrative pastor or whatever in a church that doesn't emphasize that enough, you need to make sure that you are emphasizing and setting the example for the staff that you work with, that you administer, that you lead, as well as youth leaders in what you require of your volunteers that help support your department. Whatever position you find yourself in, you've got to make it a priority for your own life and fight to have that priority. Yeah. And you have to set the example for whoever it is that you're leading. Mm-hmm. And gone are the days in youth ministry when I was younger where I would fill the calendar with all kinds of activities for the teens, because even teenagers need the downtime. And now it's like I keep in mind, what am I asking? How busy are their lives in general? And what am I asking them to commit to in addition to that? And it's not as important to keep them busy as it is to keep them focused on God.
Yeah. Yeah. Allow me to end this podcast with a story that I once heard. It's about two lumberjacks. And the young guy and the older guy. And
can I be the old guy?
Yeah. So it was a young guy and it was Scott. And they were going to have a log splitting, you know, competition between the two of them. And so the young guy says, you know, oh, man, there's no way you can keep up with me. I'm younger. I'm stronger. I'm faster. And he says, you know, whatever. And so this is going to be old school style. They're going to use their axes. So ready, set, go. And the young man just starts going to town on these logs, and he's splitting them. He's a machine. He's just going. And the old man spends the first 25 minutes sharpening his axe. And every hour and a half, he would stop and sharpen his axe again, right? And the young guy's thinking, you know, there's just no way you can keep up with me, old man. So he's got this pile of wood growing. But as the day wanes on, the young man starts slowing down. And the old man has just been keeping this steady pace. And at the end of the day, the old man had split more wood than the young man did. And when you ask him about it, and the young man out of frustration says, you know, well, how did you beat me? He says, because I was working smart, not hard. Everybody knows that the sharper your axe is, the less effort it takes to split wood. And I was letting the axe do the work.
Yeah.
You were burning yourself out. And at the end of the day, you had nothing left to give. You could rest 15 minutes, and that's still not enough to make up for the fact that you're trying to split all this wood with a dull axe. And so my question to you would be, if you're a youth worker, how sharp is your axe, and what are you doing to sharpen your axe? What are some times of rest that you're taking? Are you getting into the word and in prayer? Are you spending more time with your family and less time in the office? These are all things that sharpen your spiritual axe, and it's an act of Sabbath.
And it's a habit of highly effective people.
It absolutely is. Absolutely is. Yeah. So I mean, yes, you want to work hard ministry. You want to give God and your congregation and your teens and families your all. But in order to be able to continue to do that and sustain that pace, you need to take time. You need to rest. You need to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what God designed us for.
That story actually reminds me of an episode of Little House on the Prairie. And because we are so long, I'm not going to tell the episode, but I want to put the challenge out there. If you know what episode I'm talking about, let us know by...
You can come to our website. That's eclectic.com, eclectic. You can email us, podcast@eclectic.com. Once again, that's eclectic. You can hit us up on Twitter @eclectic, or on Facebook. You can find us facebook.com/IamEclectic. Hey, I'm Rob.
And I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening, and stay eclectic.